It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse because it's always good to kind of review down through these verses of Scripture. So Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, and so please open your Bibles to that text and we'll begin shortly. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to call us, use the phone, it would be 217-847-2717. That's call us here at the church, is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to write to us, the mailing address here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to email us, the email address here is parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one or just is just fine. And also, if you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And we have many, our constitution, many studies, and our plan of salvation, everything is very clearly stated there. So please, that you would use it to help you to come to know the Lord Jesus and help you to grow. And we would hope that that would be the fact. And so now let's turn our Bibles and look at Malachi chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob? I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of the wickedness and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by my means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? We're going to stop with that ninth verse and begin with prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together to study this precious book. It's such a joy to be able to enjoy this study each time we have the opportunity to come together. So please, I ask that you would pour your blessings out upon the study that we have. And I ask that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will go into the hearts of each one that's listening today, that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior, and then begin to serve you and serve you correctly, not like the Israelites at this point. And so, please, that you would just guide and lead each one of us, penetrate our hearts, and help us, dear Father, to know what is the correct way to serve you, and then that we carry that out, and we be servants, and we'll search, Father, your word to know your will, and then by the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit that abides within every believer, that we will be able to know that direction and walk that direction and then possess that joy and peace. So, Father, please, speak to hearts today as we have this wonderful study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's wonderful as we begin and look at this study. I don't know if you've ever studied the book of Malachi before, but it's a joy as each one of the prophets of the Old Testament. You know my love for the books of Moses, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and the joy that we had when we studied the book of Joshua as they entered into the land, having that background, that foundation with the Word of God. Of course, our perfect foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to Him by faith. Once we have that, and then we look at the Gospel of John, and we study the book of Romans, and we look back at these Old Testament books, and now the prophet, and this prophet Malachi is the last prophet to speak, and it was a period of time of 400 years of silence before the birth of the Lord Jesus. And so we see, and then the next Old Testament prophet to come onto the scene, of course, was John the Baptist. And you say, well, he's not an Old Testament prophet. He certainly is. He is the final. He is bringing in the news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah. And so this book here deals with some things that's very common today. And it's very much a part of today, and I felt the direction and leadership to go ahead and study this precious little book, the prophet Malachi. And again, as we've said, we really don't know very much about Malachi, but we know that this precious word is true. What has happened in these first few verses of Scripture that we've already studied? We find that there is a problem between Esau and Jacob. Why does God hate Jacob and love hate Esau and love Jacob? Why is that the case? It's because of who they are. Esau and Edom has rejected, totally, completely rejected the Word of God, His salvation that they need. Now that the nation of Israel will have their highs and lows. They're down in the valley, they're up on the mountain. They're down in the valley, they're up in the mountain. Right now, we find that the nation of Israel, once again, is down in that valley. We are looking at a period of time here that's about 100 years after they were back from the captivity in Babylon. And so there's been 100 years now since we looked at Nehemiah and Ezra, as they returned and rebuilt the wall and rebuilt the temple. And as we look at those times, and now we're 100 years later, and we find the condition of Israel is in a very sad condition. And so the discussion begins here as we look at these verses of Scripture, and we find the verse 4 is where we're going to start here just a little bit, and it says, "Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of the wickedness, and they and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever." What is going to take place? Esau's people, Edom, they are all doing their own thing. They're doing what they want to do, when they want to do it, and the Lord has made the land of Edom desolate. And yet they said, "We'll rebuild." And the Lord says, "No, you won't. You have hated me, and you're no longer going to get the blessings that has been given in the past because of your continual hatred for my name. And so you will be left desolate." You look at a lot of the lands in the east, and there is nothing attractive about them. It's a desolate land. And the reason it's a desolate land is because they have turned their back on the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. They have turned their back on Jehovah. They want nothing to do with Him. They deny Him. They reject Him. They come up with all kinds of religion and cults surrounding it, but they do not serve the true God. And so we see that today. But here, they're denying it. They're saying, you say, you know, that we say we're desolate, we're going to rebuild. They don't pray to the Lord that He would take that desolation away from them, that he would be able to bless them. Please, that you would bless us. And we can look back to the book of Jonah. We've just enjoyed that study. The book of Jonah, the land of Nineveh, the city of Nineveh and its suburbs there were so, so wicked. But when Jonah came in and onto the picture there, and he proclaimed that in 40 days God's going to destroy this, they had no promise. They had no thought that God was going to turn and not destroy them, but they repented. They fell on their faces and they covered themselves with sackcloth and ashes because they wanted God to hear them, and God heard them, heard that repentant heart. Well, that's something we're not seeing here as we're speaking here in Malachi, because they don't, even though everything is desolate, says, we don't care, we'll rebuild. And no, you won't. Because if you rebuild, then I'll throw down. That's what verse 4 tells us. And you see, when you have a prideful people, and we have a prideful people today, we have folks that are very arrogant and very prideful, and they do not accept that Jesus Christ is the creator of the world. They do not accept that Jesus Christ is their only opportunity of salvation. He is their Messiah. They do not believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They don't even believe in a heaven or a hell. They believe in nothing. And many of the cults, why they have to, it's to their advantage if they can die doing some deed, dastardly deed that destroys or takes lives, that will give them a certain position in the next life. That'll get them to hell. That's what'll get them to. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And we need to understand that whether you act like a fool or you act like a very nice person, a very kind person, but you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and you do not accept him as your personal Savior, what you'll find is that you're going to wake up when you take your last breath from here. You're going to be in hell. You're going to be in the place of torment. And you're going to be there until the final judgment takes place. And if Jesus would come today, that would be 1,007 years from now. There's going to be a judgment time for the lost. And you will be brought before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus himself. And you will be condemned to the lake of fire for eternity. All your aches, all your pains, all your sufferings will take place as they do now, only worse and worse and worse, and you never, ever get relief from that. Never. Now, you got the other choice to be saved as a Christian. Don't follow these cults. Follow the Word of God. Don't follow the other book. Follow the Word of God. So many of the religions got the Bible, and then they got their other book. Many religions do that. Here's what the Bible says, but here's exactly what it says because we're so smart we can see it. Well, God has put his word so plain and so clear, and he has given us the Holy Spirit as believer to understand it, and it's a joy to study it. Now, we're studying here in Malachi, and we're looking at these wonderful words and wonderful places, but no matter what prideful, arrogant Edom says they're going to do, no matter what prideful, arrogant Esau says, I'm going to do this. God says, no, you're not. No, you're not. And so you can make all these things up, and you can have all these religions, and you can follow after all of them, and you can leave the old King James, and you can go into the new version, and you can go into these places today that have the big screens, and it's more of a social hour and a party time than it is a serious time of coming and hearing the Word of God, getting your hearts convicted, and serving and praising the Lord after you've come by faith to him. That's what it's all about. It's not all about this movie theater atmosphere that we have today. There's the Spirit of God is not present there. And we need to understand, we need to get back to the Word of God. And that's what Malachi is talking to these people about. You need to get back to the presence of God. Get back to the Word of God. Edom says, Esau says, we're going to rebuild. God says, no, you're not. Verse 5 says, your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Because of Israel's love. And again, right now, they have left him. And we're going to see that here in this next section. They need to be restored. But they do not deny that there is a Jehovah God. Edom does. You do, if you have not stayed with the precious Word of God. And I'm asking you to stay back with the old King James. I want you to stay with that truth. Don't get the revisions of this man and this man. Well, he knows better and he know. No, just stay with that beautiful old King James Bible. You get you a Strong's Concordance. You get an Unger's Bible Dictionary. And you find some good, good men of God that you can follow that are long dead and gone, and you could there's many of them. Let me know, and I'll give you some names, and I call them my professors, because they have stayed true to the Word of God, and I enjoy reading the Word and then looking to what they have found and how they have been blessed by the Lord, and bring that forward as well. And so it's such a joy each day. But get these things in your library. And so you need to have these things. Every home needs to have them. You say, well, what's a Strong's Concordance? A concordance is just like a dictionary, only it has every word that's in the Bible. And when you would read it, and maybe today one word is you would find here in the fourth verse, the word indignation, as we would look that up, that would mean different things in different places. The English language has brought it forward. But in the Strong's Concordance, it will give you a definition. And so you look the word up, cross-references to a number, look back in either the Greek or the Hebrew dictionary, and you're going to find the full meaning of that word. What a wonderful time to study the Word of God. And so please, that you would follow through, and then the Bible dictionary just gives you a lot of good, wonderful history and things of that sort as well. So please, that you would look. I have again the King James Study Bible. You got some notes there. He's a man, and so the Word of God is the truth. The man is his opinion, but we need to look to that all the time. So I'm bringing all this out because this is the problem at Malachi's time. They have left him. And we're going to find that out here. And now as we look at verse 6, a son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? You see, if you're the master, then there is some fear involved there, because I want to, as a servant, I want to please my master. I want him to be happy with me. It should be the same way today as you are an employee and with your boss. You should want to do everything you can do to please him. You should do the work that he wants you to do. Say, well, I'm not paid enough to do that. You're getting a paycheck. You've been hired to do that job. You do it to the best of your ability. That's what you need to do. I do that every day. When I'm working for someone, I do it to the best of my ability, and I try to do it just as if I was doing it for myself, because I want my boss to be happy with my work. We should do that. But more than making our bosses happy, we need to make our Lord and Savior happy. We need to please him, and we will please him by first coming by faith to him, trusting him as our Savior, and then serving him properly. Now, a lot of people are saved, but they're not serving properly. And we're going to look at this here with the sixth and seventh verse now. Once again, a son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? Well, they don't understand that. If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, because the priests were responsible for bringing out the truth, that despise my name, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? And you're probably the same way. You're saying, what do you mean? You know, I enjoy going to the areas that have the big screen, and I can sit back and listen to all the upbeat music. I don't need those old hymns anymore. I just need that. I love the guitars and the drums and all the things that are there. I just, you know, you know, I don't, this old holy, 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 amazing grace, all those beautiful old hymns that have such a tremendous meaning. So much of the things today are just a repetition. They're a repetition of words. And you say the same words over and over and over again, get you all hyped up. Well, it's not real. It's not permanent. The only thing that's permanent and real is when the Holy Spirit deals with you, not with your emotions, not with your feelings. And that's what most places today that call themselves churches or a place of worship are doing. They're dealing with your feelings, not with your heart. And I ask you to return. And that's what Malachi's doing here. And they said, what do you mean? I don't see any problem. That's probably exactly what you're saying to me today. I love it. I enjoy it. It's so much better than that old dry service we used to have. Well, that old dry service, that Spirit of God was dealing with your heart, and you didn't like it, did you? So you've left. You've went to where you can get your fancy tickled a little bit, and you feel good, and you're upbeat when you go out, but there's nothing real about it. And if there's nothing real, and you were saved by another means through another church someplace, and now you're bringing your children up through that, you're sending your children to hell. I want you to examine your heart. Because you see, the priests themselves, they didn't understand. He said, wherein have we despised thy name? Look at verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? They don't understand. Do you understand? When's the last time that you opened your Bible and you got, again, I'm going to come right back to that old King James Bible, and when's the last time that you found a hymn book? Most people don't use hymn books anymore. They just read it off the screen. Most people don't even carry their Bibles. They just read it off the screen. Well, you can be deceived and led astray very quickly. You be responsible. You study your precious word. What's happening here is the priests themselves are allowing the people to do less than what God demands. And today, most preachers in most churches are doing less than what God demands. And the pastor should preach the Word of God, should tell the truth, should get the Word of God out, convict the heart. They should fall on their face as they did in Jonah's time in Nineveh and repent, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to serve and do what's right. You see the priests here in verse 6, verse 7, they had no understanding, none whatsoever. Look at the last part here at verse 7. In that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? What you're bringing to the Lord, to the Savior, to the Messiah, what you're giving to him in your time, in your monies, in your talents, in your offerings, here was the sacrifices that was to be brought, you're not bringing your best. You're giving the world more than you're giving me. And I'm going to ask you something. If you would take that to the governor, would he be pleased with that? Would he accept that? And Malachi knew the answer was no. The answer was no. Let's go back to Leviticus 22. Leviticus, I said earlier there, the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you need to study those. You need to know those. You say, well, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Oh, but if you look to those five books and you see the beautiful pictures of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus there, it'll be such a blessing to you. But you need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need to trust in him. Leviticus 22. Verse 20, Leviticus 22, verse 20. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that ye shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. Whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering, in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind, or broken, or lamed, or having a wen, or a scurzy, curvy, and a scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Ye shall offer of your own a male blemish, without blemish, 19 says. But verse 20, but whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer. Now, as we come back here, and the priest says, what do you mean we haven't honored you? What do you mean we have given you polluted bread? What do you mean by that? The Lord takes care of it. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Leviticus chapter 20, verses 20, chapter 22, verses 20 through 23 told us very clearly, without blemish. You know, on the Passover, that was one of the celebrations, one of the feasts that they have. It was, of course, the very first Passover was when they left Egypt. The death angel would pass over when they saw the blood. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me kind of paint that picture for you. They were to take a lamb, and they were to sacrifice that lamb, put that lamb to death. They were to prepare it in a certain way, and they were to take the blood of that lamb, and they were to put it on the lintel on across the top of the doorpost and down the other side. It was to be there, and then you were to be inside that house. And that night, the death angel come by, and when he saw the blood, he passed over. But any place that didn't have the blood, every firstborn animal and adult died. Firstborn. And there was death in every single household, except for in the nation of Israel, where they listened to those words. That was the first Passover. You see how precious the blood of the Lord Jesus is? When he didn't see the blood, when the blood wasn't there, that death angel came in. And it's the same way with you today, my friend. If Jesus doesn't, if he doesn't see, if that blood isn't there, if he hasn't covered you, you're going to hell. Trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior and begin there. But what would take place is days before they would pull that Passover lamb out of the flock, they would first pick the best. They would try their best to see that it was perfect as could be. And then they would bring it and they would separate it so they could keep a close eye on it, to see that that lamb was as perfect as could be, without blemish, wasn't lame, wasn't sick. Because, you see, we give our best unto the Lord. We don't give him our leftovers. We don't give him our sick and our lame. And yet, isn't that exactly what we do today when it comes to our service and our giving to him and our using of our talents? We just kind of give him our leftovers. You can work hard all day, never be late for work, but you're late for church. You can be asked, will you serve in this manner in the church? And you say, no, I don't have time. And yet you have all kinds of other activities that you're involved in within the community. It's wonderful, and we should be involved, but not at the sacrifice or the cost of not serving the Lord, not studying his word, not serving him. But we're giving him our polluted, our sick, our blind. We're giving him our leftovers. And we need to stop doing that. We need to give him our best in our talents, We need to give him our monies first. You know, everybody says we're not under the law, but God in the Old Testament talked about a tithe, the tenth comes to the local church, I'm telling you. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?